Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good to see you this morning. There seems something incredibly poignant, I feel, about the fact that we're being called to this deeper passion for God in our final series in this present building. I was thinking about it, and the fact is I have no idea what the contents of the first sermon that was ever preached in this building. I don't know whether Inside Information does know. We have no idea what the contents was, how long it was, how many people were listening. We don't know what impact it had. But I think we can make some assumptions. I think we can assume that the message was probably full of great excitement and anticipation about what God was going to do. Now that this little church had moved and had a base right in the centre of Christchurch here. And I think we can probably safely imagine that the focus was going to be on the gospel, don't you think? Encouraging men and women to have a real passion for God in their daily lives so that God would be glorified and many would come to faith in Jesus. So to have been challenged again to be passionate people for God seems very timely, doesn't it? We've been thinking over the last few weeks about being passionate people whose thirst for God alone. We've been thinking about intentionally discipling one another as we grow in our faith. And last week we thought about how to passionately live out that faith in everyday practical ways. As we go forward next week into the Beacon Centre, we long, don't we, first and foremost before anything else, to be a people who are passionate for God, a people who are full of His Spirit. So today, in our message today, we're going to be thinking more about how we fan into flame the faith that we have, how we fan into flame that passion, that gift. And I wonder especially for some of us who perhaps that's been laying dormant for a while. So I wonder if you'd turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. That's our passage for this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll be focusing in on verses 6 and 7, but I'm going to read from verse 1. So 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience as night and day. I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Shall we pray together? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege to be gathered together as your people this morning in your home where you've been worshipped for 150 and more years. Father, we thank you for this very precious moment to be together. And we thank you even more for your word, your living word, your constant word that speaks into our hearts. And Father, we pray now that as we explore your word together, that you would speak to us, that our hearts, our minds would be open to all that you want to say to us, and that we would respond to what your Spirit is doing amongst us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Timothy had been Paul's travelling companion through his second and third missionary journeys, and then Paul left Timothy in Ephesus, where he led a church there. And Paul considered Timothy to be like a son, a dear friend, somebody that he prayed for constantly. I love that little phrase, my dear son. It's so warm, isn't it? So personal, so heartfelt. Here in 2 Timothy, we have a window into a private letter between Paul and Timothy. This is a private letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. It's a letter from a mentor, if you like, to a mentee, from a spiritual father to his young disciple, his son in the faith. It's a beautiful example of what Lawrence was talking about, disciples making disciples. But what makes this letter, I think, even more precious is that it's being written by Paul as he reaches the end of his life. These are the last words penned by that great apostle Paul, this great influential man of God. And what's more, Paul is in prison as he writes this letter. He's in a cold dungeon. And he's not near death because he's ill. He's not near death because he's old. He's been sentenced to death because he follows Jesus as his Lord and Saviour. You feel like you want to sit up and listen, don't you? Don't you want to listen to what he has to say to this young man, Timothy, as he draws to the end of his life? This man who's a bit all wet behind the ears, if you like. He's new to ministry. Seems like he's struggling in ministry, perhaps because he's inexperienced, perhaps because of opposition and pressure. We feel this wonderful love, this wonderful appreciation that they have for one another, don't we? I don't know if you sensed it as we read the beginning of this beautiful letter. They have this incredible respect, this wonderful partnership as they serve together. And now they're struggling, there's tears, because they had to be separated, they had to be apart. As Paul's been thinking about writing this letter, we sense that he's been reminded of Timothy's faith. Yes, it was a faith that was in Timothy's grandmother and his mother, but Paul now says it's your faith too. You have sincere faith now living in your own heart. You know, Christianity is not a borrowed faith. It's not something we can live through someone else or rely on others to do for us. Just because our parents are Christians, that doesn't make us Christians. Timothy has discovered the love and the forgiveness of Jesus for himself. He's chosen to trust Jesus as his Lord and Saviour, just like his mother had and her mother before her. I think it's good sometimes, isn't it, to recall our conversion, that moment when we made a decision to follow Jesus. For some of us, that's a long time ago, but it's good to look back. Here's Paul encouraging Timothy, look back, reminding Timothy of his faith, reminding him of all Jesus has done for him. Timothy, this is a faith that you didn't earn. It's one that you received by faith in Jesus. It's encouraging, isn't it, when someone encourages us in our faith? Do you find that? Let's be those who encourage others in their faith, shall we? Especially someone that we might know who's struggling, someone who's wavering or feeling discouraged. It's so important that we encourage one another, remind one another of our faith. And that's what Paul's doing here at the beginning of this letter. Timothy is experiencing opposition as a church leader. People are looking down on him, we're told, because he was young and inexperienced. He was facing opposition from false teachers from outside, challenging his faith, challenging his teaching. Perhaps Timothy's feeling overwhelmed by the task in hand. Perhaps he's just exhausted. Perhaps he's feeling despondent. He's lost his passion and everything just feels like too much effort now. I wonder if you identify with Timothy a bit this morning. Are you in need of some encouragement? Or perhaps your faith has just dried up. It's laying dormant. For you, if you're really honest, it's not really part of your life anymore. Yeah, you come to church, you're here this morning, but the rest of the week your Bible remains on the shelf. Your friends perhaps don't even know that you came this morning. Well, whatever our reasons, Paul has some wonderful encouragement for all of us this morning. So I'm going to read verses 6 and 7 because they're the focus this morning. For this reason, Paul says, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. For this reason, Paul says to Timothy, for this reason I've just explained, because you're a child of God. Regardless of how you're feeling, Timothy, today, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And he's given you gifts. He's given you spiritual gifts that you have from God. Timothy, Paul says, there is no doubt that you are gifted because every believer is given the Holy Spirit. Every believer is given gifts when they come to faith. For Timothy, this was during the laying on of hands, probably at his ordination, we're not sure. But each of us as Christians, we receive gifts from God and we're called to discover what those gifts are, to use them to serve others. So this morning, if you are a believer, if you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, then you have a gift that God has given to you. There's no doubt about that. Timothy is doubting just now, though. He's lost sight of what God is doing. But Paul speaks into his life right now. Rekindle that gift, Timothy. Fan it into flame again. Paul's not talking here about starting a new fire. He's implying, isn't he, there's already one there. Fan it into flame. So I had a fire pit this week in my garden to burn some paper. I don't shred, you know, documents and things. I burn them because I find it very therapeutic. I like fire. Oh dear. So while I'm putting paper on the fire, the flames burn really brightly, don't they? And each time I put more paper on, the flames get higher and higher. And if it is just paper, which is what it was, they get really big. You have to be really careful. But when I finished and I wasn't feeding the fire anymore, the flames died down, of course. And the embers, as time I sat there just watching it, the embers eventually go black, don't they? You could think it was going out. It's going out. But I also love to poke the embers, do you? With a poker. And the burning underneath is still there, isn't it? They're still red hot underneath. They look black. They look like it's gone out. But it hasn't. It's really hot under there. And if I had more paper, it would have soon ignited again. I just needed to feed the fire, didn't I? I just need to give it oxygen, get it going again. I just wonder if those embers, those black embers, are a picture of you or me this morning. Was there a time when the flames were high? You know, you were on fire for God, serving in the church, sharing your faith, worshipping, reading God's word, hungry for more. But for whatever reason, and there are lots of reasons, that the flames die down. And all we're left with is those embers, and the fire's no longer there. That's what it was like for Timothy. Paul could see it happening. It was ministry. It was church ministry. It was a minister of God's word. It was quenching the fire within him. Everything for Timothy had become too much. The fire was dimming. For you, it may just be that for a long time you've been going through the motions, you've been serving, but actually you're feeling quite disillusioned, quite disconnected, quite empty, exhausted maybe. Or maybe you're running away because you just don't feel good enough. The gift that God has given you feels too heavy to bear, is too painful to carry. Or maybe, and I'm sure this is true of lots of us, you're doing just fine. That's great. There are different seasons of life, aren't there, with these fires. But Paul has some wonderful reminders for us, some wonderful encouragement for us this morning. Paul says, gift. The gift of God. Did you notice that? That really struck me again this week, that this is a gift that Timothy has. You and I have been given gifts from our Heavenly Father. And I think it's important, although obvious, to remind ourselves that gifts aren't something that we work hard for. They're not something that we deserve. They're freely given, aren't they? They're just given because somebody loves us. They give us a gift. Actually, a gift isn't dependent on us. It's not dependent on our ability. It's not dependent on our strength. I think this is really important to understand, especially if you're feeling a bit of a failure this morning, or if you're feeling completely overwhelmed this morning. It's good to know, isn't it, that our gift is not dependent on us. However, there is a however with Paul. We do have a responsibility to fan that gift into flame, to use that gift, to see God at work. So I think it's really important to stress that Paul isn't condemning Timothy here. He's not rebuking him or telling him off. He's wanting to motivate him to see God at work, even when life's tough, even when he's feeling so worn out, even when life is really challenging. Stoke the fire, Timothy. Paul says, feed that fire, stir the embers, discern your gift. Even if it's laid dormant for a while, it's still there. It's not too late. I wonder if any of us need to hear that this morning. How do we stoke the fire? How do we get those embers going again? Well, I think first of all, we focus on who the giver is, the one who gave us the gift, the one who has poured out his grace on us and called us to be his, to read the word of God, to feed on his word, to pray and seek God, the one who gave everything for you, and to put our confidence not in ourselves, but in him, in his goodness, in his love. And I think as we've been encouraged in this series, find others to walk with us. Get others to walk alongside us, encourage us, sustain us in our journey. What Paul does at the beginning of this, in this deeply personal letter, is he reminds Timothy of the faith that he has in God, that personal faith of his first love. And he encourages him, come on, Timothy, rekindle that gift that God has given you. And then he challenges him to rediscover the work of the Holy Spirit. You notice that in verse 7, the Spirit of God does not make us timid. The Spirit of God does not make us timid. That word there, timid, is more cowardice. Doesn't make us a coward. The Spirit of God doesn't make us a coward. Doesn't make us fearful. Doesn't make us unwilling to speak up when we should. It doesn't make us afraid. You know, Paul isn't asking Timothy to do something that he isn't or to be something that he isn't. It was quite clear if you read through Timothy that he's not another Paul. But Paul is encouraging him to have confidence in God, not in himself. Paul is just oozes with confidence, doesn't he? Not confidence in himself ever, always confidence in God. He knows who appointed him, he knows who gave him his gifts, and he knows that he's gifted to be an apostle. A bit later on in this very letter, he says to Timothy, and of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. He knows his gifts. That's why I'm suffering, he says. Yet this is no cause for shame. This is no cause for timidity. That's no reason to be a coward, actually, because I know whom I believed. Convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. Paul's confidence is in God himself, and he wants Timothy to find that confidence too. So I guess our question is, what holds us back this morning? What's holding you back from stepping into all God has for you? What holds you back from being free to be the person that God's created you to be? What holds you back from using your gifts in the body of Christ as we go forward into the Beacon Centre? What holds us back? Are we timid? Are we afraid? You know, sometimes when we feel completely exhausted or burnt out or trying to do things in our own strength, that's when we can often feel afraid, isn't it? That's when we can often shrink away. When our love for God goes lukewarm, or we just go through the motions, that's when we can shrink away and feel timid and afraid. And then we can start to make excuses. Have you ever been there? I'm not good enough. I'm too busy. I'm too old. I haven't got a gift. There are others much better than me. Or even that start to believe that God might have given up on us. And Paul's resounding word to us is no. No, Timothy. No, CBC. No. The Spirit of God does not make us like that. Paul says to Timothy, you're listening to the wrong voices, Timothy. The Spirit of God gives power, love, self-control. So as we move in a week's time over to the Beacon Centre, God has a message from Paul for us today as the people of God. Paul was soon to die, as I said. His ministry on earth was coming very quickly to a close. And these are the final words that he wrote to his beloved friend. Paul, if you like, is passing on the baton. He's passing on the baton to Timothy. And as we've said several times in this service, we're leaving our spiritual home of over 150 years. And I just wondered what those who have gone before us would say to us as they pass on the baton to us as we move forward. What would they say? I think it might be this. Fan into flame the gift God has given you. Fan it into flame. You have a gift, people. Let's fan it into flame. Let's use it for God's glory. Why? Because the Holy Spirit who lives in you already is the one who gives you everything you need to be the people God has called you to be. We have a choice, don't we? Are we going to live in his power, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and seek his kingdom? As I close, I found this lovely prayer of Paul's again. This is in the letter to the Ephesians, and I wondered, as we draw this to a close and as we feel challenged about fanning into flame that gift, as we allow the Holy Spirit to work, whether we make this our prayer. So I wonder if you would pray with me. Let's pray. Father, we pray that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in your holy people, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength you exerted when you raised Christ from the dead, when you seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realm. So, Holy Spirit, help us, we pray, to fan into flame the gift you've given to each of us. Holy Spirit, we pray, come. Come by your power so that we won't be tempted or discouraged as we live in our own strength. Today, we want to receive your power to face whatever is in front of us. And we want to serve one another, serve you with the gifts that you have given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.